It's so good to have you here today, coast to coast on the radio, and all around the world on the God Is podcast. Remember, the podcast exists to serve you. This is especially true if you missed a few days here and there, or you want to hear God Is again. All you have to do is go to this website and download it free of charge, 590amtheword.com. That's 590amtheword.com. WEZE, our flagship station in Boston, hosts the podcast, and at the top of their website's homepage, click Podcasts, and then God Is. Listen anytime, and you might also recommend this to others. Speaking for myself, this week is moving along quickly. It's Wednesday already, and this week, given the holiday tomorrow and the travel plans for many of the regular listeners to this program, we're taking a break from the Gospel of Matthew and the life of Christ. We are going to resume that on Monday, but if you have been with us for the last few days, you will remember that we've been dealing with the existence of God. And the very first reality we learn about God is that God exists, and he exists before the beginning. God exists, and he exists before the beginning. And I gave you three reasons why God existing before the beginning is so important. These are: the first reason the preexistence of God is important is that God has no beginning. The second reason the preexistence of God is important is that it demonstrates that you and I are not God. And the third reason that the preexistence of God is important is that, ironically, his preexistence proves his existence. God's preexistence proves his existence. Yesterday, we dove into the first reason: God has no beginning. Our focus has been the opening words of Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God." And last time we read just one more word from the Bible: "In the beginning, God created." We noticed that God existed before God created. So we can say God pre-existed. Before the creation, God. God is pre-existing. He exists before anyone else. He exists before anything else. Before the creation, God is. And that is crucial to understand about God. No one and no thing created him. God is uncreated. Listen again to Psalm 90, verse 2. "Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." The truth is, he has always existed and he will always exist. There is no beginning and there is no end to God. The psalmist puts it, from everlasting to everlasting. Not only does God exist present, but he has always existed past, and he will always exist future. So whether you talk about the past, the present, or the future, you cannot talk about any of those time periods without including the existence of Almighty God. God is not born. We cannot give birth to God. God does not die. We cannot kill God. We cannot start God. We cannot stop God. We have no power over him. We have no control over him. We did not make him. Rather, he made us. And neither is some sort of other divine power able to do these things to God. Because contrary to what the culture constantly tells us, there are no other gods. There is no other God. There's only one God, and he exists. He had no beginning. He has no end. He has no rival. He's not competing with any other deity or deities because they do not exist. Only he does. Still, in the Bible's Old Testament, I love how Isaiah records God's very words in Isaiah 41, verse 4. "I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last, I am he." Before Genesis 1:1, the first verse of the Bible, he existed. And after Revelation 22:21, the last verse of the Bible, he will exist. The first, the last. This is what God, holy, uncreated, says of himself. And I, for one, believe him. And the Bible claims that if you want to know God, that is, you want to live in relationship to the living God, then the first thing you must do is believe that he does exist. I love to quote from the New Testament book of Hebrews, so now let me quote from Hebrews chapter 11. Now, shifting into the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6. Whoever comes to God must believe that God is. Hebrews 11, 6. Whoever comes to God must believe that God is. So if you are within the sound of my voice and you contend that God does not exist, then that naturally puts you outside of relationship to God. You have no relationship with God. And most of you are quite all right with that. At least so the atheist tries to convince both him or herself and someone such as myself. But again, I contend the opposite. I come to God because I believe that God is. By the way, the Bible doesn't use the word atheist. Rather, the Bible uses a more accurate term, fool. Back to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The one who says there is no God is also stubbornly persistent, says Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Psalm 10 verse 4. I'm eager to hear from those of you listening to me who insist there is no God, because in my experience of talking with people like you, I found that you are a dogged, tenacious, and persistent bunch. I remember when Richard Dawkins published his book, The God Delusion, in 2006. I went on the radio in Hong Kong, where I was living at the time, to debate a disciple of Dawkins on the very existence of God. This fellow was living down in Sydney, Australia, and he joined us by phone. The hosts and myself were in the Hong Kong studio. And to be clear, the hosts were definitely not Christians. In fact, the guys hosting the morning talk program were as un-Christian as you can get. But the man defending Dawkins was speaking with such fury and so dominating the talk time, really just talking over everyone else, such that I couldn't get a word in. Do you know what the host eventually had to do? Mute him. He made a point and took one short breath, and the engineer cut his mic, really his phone, just to allow me a chance to respond. When it was all over, one of them in the studio, referring to the Australian defender of Dawkins, said to me, "What a fool." And I thought, that's right. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So if you go around all day saying, there is no God, write to me. I'm certainly willing to hear you out, but likewise, I'll expect you to do the same when it's my turn here every weekday, or when it's the turn of Christians in your life, around the dinner table or at a coffee shop, or in your office, or classroom and library. All right, that being said, to the unbelievers among us, remember what we're dealing with. Based on the Bible, I have said the very first reality we learn about God is that God exists, and he exists before the beginning. And then we're looking at reasons the pre-existence of God is important. I have three. My first reason is that God has no beginning. God has no beginning. I have the words of a song we sometimes sing in our churches playing in my mind. I believe Chris Tomlin wrote it. And on this one, he stayed faithful to the biblical text. It also has a sweet rhythm. It's called Uncreated One, and here are the lyrics. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it. Holy, uncreated one, your beauty fills the skies, but the glory of your majesty is the mercy in your eyes. Worthy, uncreated one, from heaven to earth come down, you laid aside your royalty to wear the sinner's crown. O great God, be glorified, our lives laid down, yours magnified. O great God, be lifted high, there is none like you. Jesus, Savior, God's own Son, risen, reigning Lord, sustainer of the universe by the power of your word. And when we see your matchless face in speechless awe, we'll stand, and there we'll bow with grateful hearts unto the great I am. It's well said, God is the uncreated one. God has no beginning. The second reason the pre-existence of God is important is that it demonstrates that you and I are not God. This is actually rather logical. Think about it. God is uncreated, but we are created. He is the creator, we are only the created. These differences alone make us subservient to God. Is not the one who made the world and the one who makes all of the people in the world greater than we are? We are not in the same space as God, as if we are equal to God. We cannot even elevate ourselves to God. No, instead, if we are to know God, then God must come to us. He must reveal himself to us. He must come down to our level and layer. He must introduce himself to us who live in this world from his home, which is out of this world. As we will soon see, this is where Jesus comes to make for us the way to God. What I'm saying is that no human being is God, and this is very practical because many people that you and I both know act like they are God. We are surrounded by the proud, the arrogant, the narcissistic, and the egotistical. Yet all of these men and women have a beginning. God has no beginning. All of these people are created, but God is uncreated. Everyone who is conceited must ultimately face reality. You are not God. God is God, and you are not him. My second reason why the preexistence of God is important is short and to the point. We are not God. It is God's preexistence that demonstrates to us this fact. You might have someone in your life who is so completely full of themselves that they think of themselves as God. Oh, they may not say, I am God, but they sure do act like it. It's tough to deal with someone like this. But let today's message be of some encouragement and comfort to you. This individual lives under the Creator, and one day, before God, this person will have no choice but to acknowledge that he or she has attempted the most wretched of all coups, the attempt to dethrone the one true God. We wouldn't want to be in their place when that day comes. And so, my friends, stay humble. We are not God. Well, we will pick up here again tomorrow. I'm aware that it is July 4th, and so here in the States, you might be away from your radio. But if not, please do tune in. Otherwise, download the podcast that I mentioned at the beginning and get caught up. Enjoy the holiday. Be sure and worship God, grateful for what this country offers you by way of freedom to worship him. I'll be back here tomorrow, and I hope you will join me, for God is...